Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 1622, Harlan Cohen, how to turn every rejection into your ultimate success with New York Times bestselling author, Harlan Cohen.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru, Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
You might have listeners who are great when it comes to the financial piece and the professional piece. But when it comes to being emotionally vulnerable, being able to engage socially on topics outside of their area of expertise, they might struggle. You might get uncomfortable because they're not as practiced and capable of handling unexpected feedback, uncomfortable feedback.
Welcome to So Money, everybody. I'm Farnoosh Torabi. Listen, before we get into today's episode, which you're going to love, I cannot wait to unleash my conversation with Harlan. Today is the last day to sign up for my investing workshop. I'm going live tomorrow. Come rain, come shine, come whatever, 1 o'clock Eastern, live. I'm going to be teaching all of my tricks, tips, strategies, lessons learned about investing. This is what I know you want to learn more about because you've been telling me, and I've now created the masterclass happening tomorrow, 1 o'clock Eastern live. If you can't make it, don't worry. I'm going to record it. You'll get the video. You'll get the transcript, all the goodies. I prefer you come live, but I totally get it. We're busy. But to get all that, you must register. Go to SoMoneyWorkshop.com. That's SoMoneyWorkshop.com to register for this one time only, very engaging, very live masterclass with me on all things investing. Hope to see you there. Now, today's guest is really just a good human. And, you know, I think all my guests are good people for sure. But Harlan Cohen, my guest today, he is a real standout entrepreneur and thought leader when it comes to the level of empathy, understanding, and patience that he brings to his millions of followers. We're going to talk mostly about rejection today with Harlan, but we're also going to get into like ghosts, funny slash weird slash interesting story about one of his first apartments and a financial lesson learned, which I've now put on a post-it and I'm posting it on all over my office and because we all need the reminders. But Harlan Cohen, just a little debrief on Harlan. He is a New York Times bestselling author and journalist who has visited over 500 high schools and college campuses. His target audience is young people. But as I tell him, I love his advice too, because I think we can all use his dose of wisdom. Harlan is the author of 7 books. His titles have over 1 million copies in print. The most recent book is called Win or Learn, The Naked Truth About Turning Every Rejection into Your Ultimate Success. Harlan is based in Chicago. He and his wife have 3 children. And like I said, you're going to really enjoy this conversation. Harlan, first of all, he goes on and on about me, which is very generous and totally unexpected, but I did not delete it. So sit back for that. But he also gives the best advice around how to harness rejection, what rejection really means, some truths about money, and there are those ghosts. So stay tuned. Here's Harlan Cohen. Harlan Cohen, welcome to So Money.
I'm so excited, Farnoosh. I did a little bit of a pause to add some anticipation and excitement. You might edit that out, but I think that's
I'm keeping it in. This is a very authentic Harlan on the show. I'm a big follower of your work. That's no surprise. I've been following your work for a while. Such a prolific writer and speaker and author. Your advice is mainly for students and young adults, but I have to tell you, I love hearing what you think about the insecurities and the failures and the challenges that young people face, because I still face them. And I love how you answer the questions, as hard as and complex as they can be. Sometimes I'm like, what is he going to say? And you always deliver with empathy and so much truth and such good, solid advice. More recently, Harlan's been interested in rejection, everybody. And I'm holding up your book, your most recent book here. You've written 7 books, but the most recent is called Win or Learn, The Naked Truth About Turning Every Rejection into Your Ultimate Success. This is another thing we share in common, is our passion for rejection. And so let's start there and maybe talk about your personal experiences with rejection and some of the best learnings from your own rejection.
Yeah. Well, Farnoosh, first, thank you for not rejecting me. Thank you for welcoming me. And I think what makes you so wonderful and what makes people love you so much is, well, you're very smart and you have a lot of wisdom and you have a ton of humility and you're not afraid to admit when you don't know something. And you also direct people to wonderful resources and you are, you're just easy to be around and easy to listen to. And I love that. I think it makes it so safe and comfortable to share with you. And I just think that that's something you're not afraid. Like, you shared something the other day, and this is honesty and humility. And I'll talk about my stuff in a sec. But like, one thing you did, and I've been following you for years, and you know, I love watching what you've done and how you continue to grow and help people. But you were talking about how you made choices in your business to be you, to not have a giant, not make it like a big corporation, like, you know, Farnoosh, Acme, and, you know, everything else. You are you, and you've been intentional, right? Like, that's been intentional. And you shared that. And as someone who is, you know, I'm very similar in terms of the structure of my business, and I see lots of people of different businesses and different offices. Like, I was in an office the other day that was so cool. And I was like, this is so cool. And there's all these people who are part of this office doing cool things. And I was like, oh, that could be fun. But then I was like, that's not me.
Yeah.
And you gave me permission to really embrace who I am and to just reinforce the idea that I can be me and I can find different ways to be successful being me. I don't need to be everyone else. It's like the FOMO piece, you know?
Yes. And I relate. You know, you walk into this flashy office And you're like, oh, this is what success looks like. Oh, yeah. Okay. But I don't have that. So then where does that leave me? And I think that if you're not somebody who is solid in their decisions and sees and measures their success actively, it's very easy to fall into that, to that FOMO, to that trap, to that very limited view of what success means. It's not for everybody.
Yeah. And you know, what your checking account and what your business account is, and each person has a different sense of what that enables them to do and what that means. And it's different for each person. I think sometimes we define ourselves based on our net worth, and we look at other people's net worth and really what is that going towards, and what experiences does that buy, and how many more experiences can you have? And the meaning behind that, when you really dive deep into what the value is, it's not as valuable and as important as I think a lot of people believe it to be. Mm. So, and this is acceptance. This is rejection. This is me loving myself and accepting who I am, and all your listeners loving themselves and accepting who they are. And I think that's where I just wanted to start, because you do such a wonderful job of accepting yourself and loving yourself where you are. And you give other people permission to do that, which enables us to grow and to set goals and to learn and grow.
Well, so, as do you, Harlan, as do you. I think, you know, everybody, I'm about to also appear on Harlan's podcast, and you had said, I think we weren't recording yet, but you're like, I think we're like kindred spirits. Yeah. It's funny, you know, you watch people from afar, you feel connected to their work and their humanity, and then you meet them. And I just love that I wasn't disappointed, you know, like Harlan is who Harlan is. That's and correct. So really excited again to have you on our show to talk about your approach to rejection. This is something personal to you and something that you have recently been focused on, no doubt because your audience of young people, this is something that, you know, I write about rejection in A Healthy State of Panic. It's the first chapter, because I wanted to go chronologically through life with the emotions that we first encounter, the hard ones, the hard fears. The fear of rejection is like universal, and it's early. The onset is early. How did you personally, you know, learn and grow from rejection?
Great. So I've been rejected my whole life. I've been accepted and loved and appreciated and also rejected. And I think it's really important that I've embraced that part. And I think people are so afraid to look at rejection. And it started when I was a kid. I was really overweight. And one girl told me I was too fat to date. And I thought, oh, well, now I'm never going to be loved, because this girl said I'm too fat to date. And that stuck with me. Those things that, those rejections early in life create these scars that don't stop. Like as we're parents and it just does, grandparents, it doesn't stop. So that was scary and uncomfortable. And eventually, you know, I got more comfortable in my skin and I experienced more acceptance from people. And, but I still was fascinated with rejection, even like friend groups. Like I've never had like a large group of friends, like high five, you know, sweat it out group. Like that's just not, I've never had that, but you know what? That's okay. I've had friendships and relationships, but that's rejection. Even like having a group to go with for prom. You know, I had a friend who was really, everyone liked a little more, was really attractive, I guess. And he was always the one that you know, people would talk to me and say, is he single? You know, I was like, they weren't interested in me. But then what happened is my senior year in high school, I, you know, like everything fell into place. Like for me, I'm kind of like an after school special. They don't do after school specials anymore.
You should.
But like, right. I love them. Cause it was like freshman year in high school, brutal, you know, dreams, disappointment, rejection, senior year, everything went well. Yeah. You know, I got this principal's award. I was part of this improv group I got rejected by for 4 years or 3 years. And I was like one of the head writers. And I was doing all these things and had all this affirmation. But in my brain, I was still this guy who wasn't good enough, who was lucky to be successful. Even my SAT, like I struggled with that. My ACT, I kicked butt. I called the ACT home office and asked if they made a mistake. you know, because I couldn't believe I was smart because I was just comparing myself to everyone else. So all of these things. So every time something worked out, it was like a miracle. But I recognized that rejection was also part of this journey, which is one of the reasons I love helping young people. You know, I help everyone. I help students. I help parents. I do professional development. I do corporate training. I do life coaching because at the core, and this is what the essence of the book Winner Learn is about, there is a universal law of nature called the universal rejection truth, and it should be on the periodic table of elements, the URT. And the URT says the universe sounds like a urinary infection, a UTI. It's not the UTI.
It's about as painful, I think.
Right. This is not a UTI, a urinary tract infection. This is the universal rejection truth. And the universal rejection truth says not everyone and everything is always going to respond to me the way I always want. You could be the best, the brightest, the most attractive, the most desirable, the smartest, the most capable, but not everyone and everything is going to respond the way we want. So this is this truth. And I love this truth, Farnoosh. And you did such a wonderful job spotlighting different aspects of the universal rejection truth in a healthy state of panic, you know, citing lessons from your life up to your current, you know, everyday life now, and universal rejection truths that are part of your family's life and your culture, because there's all these universal rejection truths. Universal rejection truth of being a business person, you know, of being in sales, of being a podcaster. Not everyone's going to always listen to your podcast. Lots of people will. The universal rejection truth of college admissions. Lots of people are going to get into their dream schools. Lots will not. You know, you dealt with that as well and did such a great job demonstrating that. The universal rejection truth of marriage. I've been married for 20 years and my wife doesn't always do what I want and doesn't respond the way I want.
Are you serious?
Right. But that was one of the most powerful lessons in my life and mm-hmm. of recognizing that I don't need to be right. Mm-hmm. I just want to be heard. I don't need people to respond the exact way I want. I just want to be able to share that and know that they understand, that they hear me. But sometimes they might not even be able to hear me when I want them to hear me. But that's the universal rejection truth. So this truth is so important. I think it is the, for me, it's the flux capacitor of life from Back to the Future.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So, finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/SoMoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/SoMoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/SoMoney. I would go so far as to say, as a parent teaching your kids that things won't always work out and things won't always be fair or equitable, is sometimes the best way to prepare them for the real world as it relates mm-hmm. to their financial lives, their career, their relationships.
Right.
This is a universal truth foundationally that I think, and my friend just wrote a book called Erasing the Finish Line. Uh-huh. And Nahom Ayoun, you might have come across her work. She works largely in academia and talks to schools and universities and young adults and is a great educator. But her gripe right now with households is that we are not training, we are not conditioning our young children to grow up to be young adults to learn how to deal with rejection. They are yep. not getting into their colleges of choice. They are going to college and facing social rejection. And particularly the kids who were hibernating during COVID and not really socializing, yep. this is a huge challenge for them, to the point where they're coming back home, they're dropping out of school. This is a real problem. And I would love for you to tell us what you're seeing too, as yep. far as how this is manifesting in young adults' lives when they don't accept this universal truth.
It's huge. And it really is it's a thread that is woven throughout our life. And if we don't have knowledge of the universal rejection truth, what happens is we internalize all of the negative things that happen. And we don't have the emotional tolerance and we don't have the life skills to be able to handle all of the uncomfortable parts of life that are normal and natural. And this is what happens. Students, young people, parents, people become fatigued and they have to find ways to cope and check out because they don't understand what's happening and they don't have the tools to process the difficult, uncomfortable parts of life. So much of what I do, whether it's through my books, and I have a book, The Naked Roommate, and 107 other issues you might run into in college, which, you know, the book has over 1 million copies in print. I even hesitate because I'm not like a self, I don't really, you know, I'm not the most important person in the room. But the reason that book has been so successful is because there are stories of people who are living life, making mistakes, learning and growing, and it gives other people permission to have those experiences. I posted something on Instagram today and on TikTok on my socials. And I don't know if people can see this or I'll just read it. It was a comment from a post about STEM. Students who are in STEM, how STEM classes can be really brutal. And this person commented, failed my first class in biology at university. 4 years later, I'm a biology honor student interviewing for PhDs at Oxford right now. Keep going. And this is, and I get so many messages from so many people who have lived life, mm-hmm. who have struggled. So when we allow the struggle to be part of the journey and we don't make it a reflection of us not being enough and we know how to cope, that's the power. So
You know, I teach people in all areas of their life how to do this. And when we break it down, there are five areas of transition, of change that we deal with when we're in our teens and 20s. It's social, emotional, physical, financial, and academic. So that acronym is SEPFA. Okay. I really hit the SEP. It's the worst, the stupid acronym.
Not to be confused with FAFSA, but
right.
SEP. Yeah.
SEPFA. And then when we graduate and get a job, hopefully get a job, it's SEPFA-PU because the academic becomes professional. So SEPFA-PU. All right. So SEPFA and SEPFA-PU, these are real. But really, when we think about life and the changes we encounter, these tend to be the five areas. So you might have listeners who are great when it comes to the financial piece and the professional piece. But when it comes to being emotionally vulnerable, being able to engage socially on topics outside of their area of expertise, they might struggle. You might get uncomfortable because they're not as practiced and capable of handling unexpected feedback, uncomfortable feedback, a lot of new employees, you know, a lot of students who don't have the emotional tolerance and haven't had a lot of the life experiences. It's hard for them to advocate. It's hard for them to be able to admit the things they don't know from a place of strength. So this is where, yeah.
No, sorry to interrupt, but it reminded me of a place in your book, Win or Learn, where I stopped and threw in a post-it and said, I want to ask Harlan about this because you've already talked about permission and how kids have a hard time admitting what they're struggling with. But they also, this is important, we, and I think even as adults, struggle with this, to admit what we want, to feel that we have permission to want for things. I've done a lot of episodes on this as it relates to our financial life and wanting to be rich and wanting to be financially successful. It feels icky to a lot of us because maybe we weren't raised to think that wanting money is a virtuous thing.
Right.
And so why, I guess, is my question, what from your understanding, why is it so difficult to follow your own compass?
Yeah. I was really fascinated with the just self-discovery when writing that part of the book. And the book is super easy to read. It's like 100 pages. It's double spaced. There are pictures. It's like, this is easy stuff. But the concepts are so, they are so powerful. Because when I think about wanting, it seems so easy. You just share what you want. But wanting is so tricky. Because when we want, what happens is we start to have hope and we start to get excited. And the minute you want something and are hopeful and excited, you are vulnerable. You are vulnerable to getting hurt. So it's easier to not want and it's easier to not get excited and just wait for people to want you and to wait for the world to give you things that you're excited about because then you don't have to risk being disappointed and hurt or judged. But wanting is crucial. It's important. You know, it's the visualization. It's setting a goal. But the thing is, when we want, we will experience one of three things. When we want something and we take a risk, we're either going to get it, which is super exciting, right? But it's also scary because once you get it, you want to keep it. That's frightening. Then the other thing you might that might happen when you want something and take a risk is you're not going to get it. The rejection, the self-doubt, just wondering, am I enough? Will I ever get this? The third thing that happens is, okay, you get it, but then you lose it because nothing is forever. Life is about change. We don't get to live forever. We're born. It's a transition. We live. We want. We have all these experiences, and then we leave. And we don't get a choice. But here's what's fascinating is, first of all, it's scary to want, but here's what's wild. When you want something and you get it, you never get to keep it forever. Mm-hmm. So if you think about this, just the different aspects of wanting and working through this, and the key is you have to know you're going to be okay no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. So if you know you're going to be okay, then it's easier to want. And the universal rejection truth is so crucial because if I want and I don't get it, well, I'm either going to blame you, Farnoosh, or I'm going to blame myself if it's something related to you. But there's this universal rejection truth that says, you know, I may never get what I want from Farnoosh
because that's just this law of nature. So instead of internalizing it and spending so much time hating and hurting and blaming, I can process and move forward. You know, my dad said something so important to me once. He said a lot of important things. First of all, one thing he said that's so important, my mom and dad are wonderful. They're like, if anyone could do something, you could do it. But they also said, my dad said, everyone loses money. Because we lost money. It was a crazy story. I don't know how much time
we
had.
I'll tell it. This is the forum.
This story, Farnoosh, we got married, not you and me. My wife and I got married. And we moved into a place, an apartment in downtown Chicago on Belmont and Lakeshore Drive. And it was like, I think on the 16th floor. It was so beautiful, the view. And it was a rental. And we couldn't understand how lucky we got getting this place. We moved in. And about 3 days later, and there were a lot of weird things that happened. We moved in 3 days later. I left my keys in the car. I had to go downstairs because my wife, we couldn't get into the apartment. So she was in the hallway. And this guy comes out of the apartment across the way and goes, oh, it's so nice to see someone finally moved into this place. And she said, what do you mean? And he said, oh, you don't know? And she said, no, I don't. He goes, oh, I can't say anything. She said, no, you know, you need to tell me. And she said, well, okay, the person who lived there before you was murdered. And they found his body a few days later. And the story is so weird. It was like someone who had hired someone to, like an escort. And this person like got bludgeoned. And there was like, they were involved with the clergy too. Like this whole thing was like, it was so creepy what went on. And so anyway, my wife was freaked out about this. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it's a sign. We need to work through adversity. We need to welcome the spirits because like a shelf fell and like weird things. But the view was beautiful.
Years ago, like it wasn't recent. It was like,
no, it was like 2 months earlier, a month earlier. Right. This was like a big crime. We didn't know. And when the person who was renting us the place gave us a tour, there was like closet organizers and there was like a soda dispenser that was in the fridge. And I was like, wow, this is so nice that this previous tenant left this. And, you know, I guess when you leave that way, you don't really take your stuff with you. But they left it there and the floors were redone. So it was like,
they're still here. What's going on? Right.
Some people wouldn't care. Some people listening are like, big deal. It's no big deal. There were like a lot of weird things that happened and we decided we needed to move out. It wasn't right. And we ended up having to, like, I lost the tenant. The landlord was nice. It was like a condo building. He was nice until he decided not to be nice. And I had to pay a couple months rent to get out of this. And I was so upset. We ended up finding another place that was terrific and wonderful, but I was really upset. And my dad's like, listen, we all lose money. He goes, everybody loses money because it's just what it is. You know, and shared how many times he's lost. Every person loses money. And it really stuck with me because we all lose money. It's part of it. And I've never shared that story, but it was.
Thank you for sharing.
Well, I mean, it's like it was just a weird story, but we worked through it. And, you know, I want to get back on track. When we face discomfort. And this is the win-or-learn framework, okay? The win-or-learn framework is, what do you want, okay? We have to define what we want. What makes you uncomfortable? If there's something that we're dealing with, we're uncomfortable. In this situation, I was uncomfortable. I was in this apartment. I wanted a different place. Then you think people, places, patience. The formula is people, places, patience. Who are my people? Farnoosh, you're in people's corner. I'm in people's corner. I reached out to someone who had dealt with there was a friend who was a real estate attorney and said, like, what are my rights? You know, you always have your person. When students are going to college, who are the people on campus they can turn to? Where are the places they could find support and community? And then it's patience, understanding that whatever you're dealing with right now, you will be able to get through it. You will. And even if it's painful and uncomfortable, it will work out. And the example I shared with you of the apartment, it's a fine one, but a better one is going to college. You know, when I am advising students who go to college or get a first job, I say, make sure there is a place in that community or on the campus or in your corporation where you're welcome and included simply because you exist, where there's someone who's going to say, Farnoosh, Harlan, welcome. Mm-hmm. We don't understand. We don't know how to navigate change. We don't know how to work through a lot of the discomfort that's part of life. So that's what I do. And it's everything. It's not just college and it's not just business. It's a framework for life. And that's this win or learn mindset. And Nelson Mandela is the one that is famous for the quote, "I never lose. I either win or I learn." And that's the idea.
So great. And I'm so glad that you're giving this, you're spreading this gospel, this word to all the young people and older people. I think we can all use the reminders. I'm curious, you know, every time I get a guest on who is as tenured and prolific as you in the world of, with your expertise and your books and your mentoring and your advice, I always want to know, what is your framework for success and how do you decide what to pursue next? Is it like an instinct? Maybe it's different every time, but are there certain variables that you feel need to be present for something that you're going to do next professionally is a hell yes?
Yeah. So I really try to live by service above self, because when I start to feel too important and I start to focus on myself, things go bad. Like they go off the rails and I really lose focus. So I really try to serve. You know, how can I serve in a way where it's not about me? So service above self, and then being really mission oriented with a value, you know, having a mission and a value tied to it, really having it be a win-win-win. So those are like fundamental parts of engaging in a new venture. Also, because I have a lean business structure, you know, I have somebody who works full time and I work with lots of different partners and contractors. I have the ability, which I'm sure you do as well, is to experiment and experience, you know, iterate. And you know, so much of what I do as an entrepreneur is feeling what it's like to experience this and have it be pretty low stakes. Mm-hmm. So that's another one, to just actually feel what it's like. And then after a few months to evaluate and decide, is this something that I want to continue? And does this feel good? So that's been huge. One of the biggest mistakes I made was putting too much emphasis on a project, investing too much too soon. I have this wonderful coaching program that I'm so excited about. It's called Best First Year. And basically I do virtual coaching, group coaching, every couple weeks with groups to help them, whether it's through college and life. So I'm super pumped, but I've been working on this project for 6 years. Wow. And it wasn't a coaching program to begin with. Originally, it was just all these videos with me kind of walking through people's, it was an online course. And I know that you in the book talked about, you know, choosing what online course you want to do. I did this thing and I spent like 6 months launching this thing, preparing for it. And I thought it was going to change my life. And what happened is 3 people signed up. And I was like, I remember I was so upset. I threw a stapler against the wall. I was like, so frustrated. I was like, why does it have to be so hard? I'm like, why does it have to be so difficult? Because I disappointed my wife. I was disappointed. I had put so much into this. And, you know, I was so devastated. But what happened is I learned how to do webinars so well that I ended up getting contracted and I had a partner where I did these webinars, which earned a tremendous amount of like, it was awesome. And then I learned how to do all these different virtual programs, which ultimately served me so well as the world progressed and we had our whole pandemic issue. So what happened is by trying to sell this thing, I developed all of these skills that proved to be so valuable, which now have served me. And I've been able to work out the kinks to create a viable product that really matches the market. And developing all these skills. But at the time, I put so much emphasis on it needed to make money.
Yeah.
And the problem is it needed to make money. So I couldn't give it away. I couldn't iterate. I couldn't do the things I needed to do because the stakes were too high. So anyway, you know, as a lesson for anyone else, do it, but make sure that the stakes are not so high that it becomes, you know, so much becomes so difficult to continue
and so
to
rigid, and you don't have any freedom to experiment and take some risk.
Yeah.
I love that. That
should have been smaller. Like there's a, I forget which startup book where it's the lean startup. I think that's,
the
you just
lean
want
startup. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Harlan Cohen, thank you so much. I love everything that we've explored. I wish I could have you on here for many more hours, but in the meantime, I'm going to follow you, continue following you, your work. Everyone, if you're not already following Harlan on his socials, great place to start. You have, I'm learning a lot. I'm also following your wife now, who is a speech pathologist, because she does some great videos. I'm just here to learn about how to communicate better on social.
She's learned to talk with me. Stephanie,
she's learned to talk.
Yeah, at Learn to Talk with me. And I know we got to wrap, but she's like, what she's doing, she helps parents when their kids are born to like the first, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years. She helps them enter the nest. And then I'm there to help them leave the nest.
Oh,
and
I love them.
Yeah. And the life lessons, you know, it's been wonderful to see her and to do this as together as a team.
Yeah.
We're learning so much, and thanks for following her.
Yeah, I love it. Win or Learn is Harlan's latest book, The Naked Truth About Turning Every Rejection into Your Ultimate Success. Come back anytime.
Thanks, Farnoosh. I love it. Thanks.
Thanks so much to Harlan Cohen for joining us. I'll put the links to follow him in our show notes, including a link to his new book, Win or Learn. And again, if you'd like to sign up for my live investing masterclass happening tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, yes, there'll be a recording. If you register, go to somoneyworkshop.com. That's somoneyworkshop.com. Hope to see you there. And in the meantime, hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15.